Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Dori, hello.
Hello, Kate.
You texted me because you did something in your home this weekend that you had not done since moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell our listeners what happened?
I do. So let me just set the scene.
I love when you set the scene. That is a thing you do. And I have to just go on record as saying, I love when you do it.
Thank you, Kate.
Paint
that means a lot.
The picture.
So we live in a house that was built in 1924. And some of the features of the home have not been updated since 1924, including one of the bathrooms. So there's a tub in that bathroom that my husband uses. It is, quote, his bathroom. And then I use the bathroom that is off our bedroom. But, you know, with the bebe coming, I was like, well, it's good we have a bathtub because babies need to take baths. And then I was like looking at the bath. I'd always been like, the bathtub is like one of those bathtubs that never really looks like it gets clean, no matter how many times you clean it. You know those bathtubs?
I do. I've had so many of them.
Yeah. I feel like they're like a real New York thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd always been like, nah, I don't want to take a bath in there. Also, we didn't have a stopper for the drain, which is a very easily remedied.
Yes.
Very affordable. And I just never done it. So, but I really think I was just inspired by this podcast.
This podcast, Forever 35.
This podcast that we do every week, Forever 35. And I was like, I have a bathtub. What am I doing? So I went on our friend Amazon and I ordered a drain plug. I ordered the thing that goes over the thing.
Per Jasmine Guillory's recommendation.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
the thing that goes over the thing. And I ordered a bath pillow.
Oh,
yeah,
you took
like,
it up.
Let's
a
level
notch.
Up. And then, so all that stuff came the other day. And then I was at Sprouts recently. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I just buy one of these eucalyptus bath salt packets and I'll buy another one in lavender? They were like $3. And I was like, this will just amp things up a little. So Friday night. Filled up the bath. I got in. It was a little too cold, but that was all right. I also, you know, when you're pregnant, you're not supposed to take like super hot baths. But I put my Kindle in a Ziploc bag per Jasmine Guillory.
Jasmine really is our guru.
She is
front.
AP bath. She teaches AP bath.
AP PhD
she
in bath.
She writes the test. Anyway, I put the eucalyptus in. I got in the bath. Put my bath pillow on. I laid down. I was like reading. And I was like, this is the life. What was I doing? All this time, this bathtub was here? What is wrong with me?
The poor tub felt so neglected until you got in it.
I mean, my husband takes showers in it, but he doesn't take baths. And I was like, oh my God, this is a new life. So then I took another bath last night.
Oh my gosh.
I used the lavender stuff.
What are you going to do now? You ran out of stuff. We got to go back to Sprouts.
And last night, I have to admit, I made it a little hotter. I leaned back on my bath pillow. I closed my eyes. I was like, I'm not going to fall asleep and drown in the bathtub. But I just closed my eyes just to really take it all in. I put on a face mask.
Ugh.
And I was like, I have never been so relaxed in my life.
Holy moly. I'm so happy for you for breaking the seal.
Thank you. So I've also bought some, you have these, the LED candles.
Oh yes. I love those.
So I've bought some LED candles. So my next plan.
Oh my God.
Set up some LED candles.
You are seducing yourself.
Maybe some music.
Yes.
Bring a little Bluetooth speaker in.
Yeah. Yes. Dim the lights and make it really relaxing.
This is what I'm talking about.
I as you were describing this, it really did feel like, honestly, that you were seducing yourself, creating this amazing, luxurious space just for you.
Yeah. In this tub that's like kind of gross.
Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
And honestly, every tub, new, old, clean, dirty, they're all kind of gross.
Yeah.
So just get in it.
But I was like, oh, and I brought my bathrobe in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so I just, you know, I was able to just get out, wrap myself up in my bathrobe, then lotioned up. Ugh,
I love oiling up after a hot bath.
I mean, I was like, I am a new woman.
Did you also feel like kind of that nice, heavy, tired feeling? So you just kind of crawl into bed all clean?
Yes. Yes. It was the perfect way to like wind down.
Yes. I have. Do you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm taking a bath. I have my back is really bothering me.
Yes.
And I already mentally in my mental schedule. It's like, well, I'm reading Busy Phillips's memoir and I'm getting in the tub with Busy Phillips.
So speaking of seducing myself.
Yes.
I also took myself out on a date on Saturday night.
Tell me everything.
Well, I believe I texted you.
Oh, that's right. When you were like, I want sushi.
But I was craving cooked sushi. So I took myself to the Grove and I had some sushi, but I also, while I was waiting for a spot to open up at the restaurant, I moseyed over to Barnes & Noble and I was looking in the magazine section and I noticed a magazine called Willow and Sage. Kate, are you familiar with this publication?
No, I'm laughing though. What? Willow and Sage?
Yes. Apparently it is a publication that they focus on like crafty things. Like they'll have an issue devoted to like making your own candles. And this issue was devoted to making your own bath things.
Did you buy the magazine?
I didn't. Okay. I might go back and buy it though, because I was like, I could become a person who makes their own bath bombs. Like this is a thing
that
I could
be
do.
A fun workshop.
Also,
actually,
P.S. Bath bombs are expensive. They're like $6 each.
No, I think you could 100% do it. I would take that course.
Right? I just need to buy some molds.
Couldn't you use like an ice cube tray?
No, because like you want the nice roundness of them. You want them to really look like bath bombs. But they had a recipe for an oatmeal one. I was like, ooh, this looks good. Get me some of those homemade bath bombs, Willow and Sage.
Willow and Sage.
And the cover, all the cover lines were in that like Pinteresty.
I can already imagine it. It's a soft
calligraphy,
curvy, cursive.
Yeah, exactly.
A willow tree.
This is my life now.
It's like every time I pass the Magnolia Table Joanna Gaines cookbook or
exactly.
magazine.
Exactly. Oh, there was a whole Joanna Gaines display at Barnes & Noble.
Joanna Gaines.
Anyway, so that has been my new life.
Dating yourself, like seducing yourself, is such a what a sexy activity. I'm gonna try it more,
especially because, you know, I'm now that I'm pregnant, I'm not feeling like particularly sexy. I mean, I know I look sexy.
Yeah, you do.
Thanks, girl. But I'm not like feeling that.
I know
sexy.
Your body is changing.
Yeah,
you feel it.
So it's nice to just sort of like get in the tub.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of myself.
Would love to know what dates listeners take themselves out of.
Yeah, or how they seduce themselves.
Yeah.
What else has been going on with you, Kate?
Well, Dory.
Yes.
I had a bit of a health spiral this weekend. Dealing with some sort of health stuff. But it was a really good exercise in like working on my anxiety and like the urge I have to spiral. And instead I tried really hard to follow like grounding practices that I knew today would make me feel better and have some control over not the health stuff that's going on, but just control over how I'm feeling otherwise.
Kate, you are trying to reframe your own narrative.
Listen,
and I love it.
I am in cognitive behavioral therapy. in a major way right now.
And it's working.
I have to say, I feel like I'm starting to implement some of the tools I'm learning. So, you know, so I had to make a bunch of doctor's appointments, and I had the urge to not do it because I'm scared. But instead, I called first thing this morning and made my two appointments. And then, like last night, after kind of a tough day, I made myself do my gratitude practice, which helped because I think when you, it's very easy to like list all the things you're grateful for when you've had a great day. But when you had a shitty day and you're like, ugh, what am I grateful for? All this hard stuff is going on. It really does help you find like the wonderful good chunks of your life. And then this morning I showered. I oiled my body with some almond oil.
Nice.
I did my lemon water.
Nice.
Warm lemon water. I ate a nice big breakfast.
Nice.
I made some eggs on corn tortillas.
Ooh.
And then I like just took in my fresh, I put on a dress.
Yeah, you look cute.
I tried to make myself just feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still feeling panicky, but I also feel like I'm in control of what I can control. And everything else will just play out.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting, it was an interesting kind of just observing myself and how I health stuff is very scary for me. It's like where my anxiety lives in a lot of ways. So, so that was the journey I went on this weekend. So here I am.
Yeah.
But I feel okay.
I'm glad that you kind of like recentered.
I did reframe that narrative.
You fully did.
Did the reframing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does help. I mean, it doesn't make anything easier, but it does help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I landed.
Good.
Thank you for asking.
Of course.
How did your selling of items go?
Well, I'm perpetually purging things.
You're
from
a purge
my
master.
House. But, you know, of course, being a purge master raises the question of why the hell did I have so much stuff to begin with?
I do have to tell you, every time you do a purge, I'm amazed that you keep finding.
My sister has said this as well. She was like, how do you have stuff left?
Yeah, that's why I can't. And it's like good stuff. It's not even like you're now getting rid of like your meh stuff.
No. Now I'm getting rid of the good stuff.
So this is stuff that you at first for the initial purges you held on to.
Exactly. Like I was like, no. Like this is too nice, or I need to keep this. And now I'm like, I never wear it. It needs to go.
I just can't believe like every purge you do, I'm always like, I want all of this.
You
this
can have
still
it.
Still good.
I'll give you a discount.
Oh, thank you.
Code Forever 35.
Promo code Forever 35. Yeah.
There was some stuff that like, I thought it would be easier to invite people over to buy stuff. It turns out people don't like to show up to stuff. So only a couple people came, but one of the people who came was a woman I hadn't seen in 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a cool excuse to get together.
Yeah. So it was like great to reconnect with her. And she bought some makeup.
What a great, like, killing two birds with one stone.
And then, so when the afternoon was kind of winding down, it was becoming clear that no one, like another person came just to kind of like say hi. But it was clear that like no one else was going to come and actually buy stuff. I was like, let me just sell some stuff on Instagram.
You're so good at it.
But what was great is I had already been inspired to kind of gather all this stuff together that I wanted to get rid of. So I wasn't just sort of like cherry picking from my closet. It was like, it was all there. So I just started selling stuff and I sold a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like I made a really good dent in some stuff that had like, this was stuff that I've had for a while. Like a lot of it was stuff I've had for a while that I haven't worn in a long time, that I was just holding on to for whatever reason. Some really nice bags. Those went quick. But I just don't use them anymore. And so like, why keep them?
Set them free and let them live another life with a new person.
Exactly. So that felt really good.
And you were donating part of the money that you earned too, right?
Yes. I'm going to donate some to Everytown for gun safety.
What a great, again, another killing two birds with one stone.
I mean,
just a 1-2.
Yeah. I need to decide how much. I'll figure that out. But yeah, so that felt good.
Happy purging.
Thank you.
It's also got to feel good as you prepare to welcome a new person into your home to just kind of make physical space for baby boy Shafrira.
Mm-hmm. Shafrira.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Shafrira.
Yeah, we both have a lot of stuff, and so it needs to kind of go. So the last thing that I just want to mention before we take a quick break there is a new podcast out from our friends at The Wing, which is a network of women's co-working and event spaces in New York, DC, San Francisco, and soon Los Angeles.
Cannot wait.
And they have a new podcast called No Man's Land that is kind of an offshoot of their biannual magazine, also called No Man's Land. And they are focusing on kind of like badass women, sort of like badass forgotten women throughout history.
So cool.
Yeah. It's really cool. I've listened to the first episode. It's amazing. By the time this comes out, there should be 2 episodes available. So I would encourage everyone to check that out.
I will.
You should. And now we're going to take a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done a consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a Tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
So today is Thanksgiving. Well, not today, but when this podcast comes out, it will be Thanksgiving.
It will.
And so we wanted to take some time to talk about gratitude.
My favorite topic.
Kate's favorite topic.
Besides Costco.
But I bet Costco is one of the things you feel grateful for.
Dory, you know what the last thing on my list is. Says I am grateful for Costco. Because I am. Dory, I have established this year a gratitude practice.
Yes.
Where I just note down three things I'm grateful for each day. I'm not always consistent with it, but I try to be fairly regular. And that can be anything. I think sometimes when we think of a gratitude practice, it has to be like, I'm grateful for the wind blowing through the trees. But instead, it can simply be like, I'm grateful for ice in my water.
Totally.
It can be simple.
You put ice in my water.
I did. I'm not trying to hint that you should be grateful for it.
I am so grateful.
I'm just saying, you know, it's, you know, sometimes I think we can feel self-indulgent. Like, oh, I'm grateful for my face. I mean, whatever it is. I'm not explaining this well, but I'm just saying you can be grateful for anything. It doesn't matter. You don't have to show this practice to anyone. It's really just a way to check in with yourself and reflect on the positive things that happen for you on a daily basis.
Totally.
And I find it can be very helpful in turning my perspective around, especially when I'm going through a really tough time.
Yeah.
And it's not fun to do a gratitude practice on a hard day or during a hard episode, but it does really help. It does help me see the bright spots even in the hardest times that I'm going through. So
you have really sold me on gratitude.
I say this a lot and I feel like it sounds kind of dorky, but it has been really transformative for me. It is a real way of pulling myself. I tend to get into a negative space or I start to kind of panic or get really overwhelmed with anxiety or dread. And forcing myself to sit down and really review my day. And I now do it with my family every night at dinner. Everybody has to share a high and a low, or if you have no lows, two highs from your day. And it just really helps to talk about. I don't know. It's changed me. It has changed me. So my first thing is that I have gratitude for gratitude. I'm grateful for my health.
Okay.
My family's health.
Yeah.
Our general safety and well-being. I'm grateful for the communities in my life that nourish and support me. I am grateful for sexy, hot romance books that give me swoony feelings.
Nice.
That's my favorite feeling in the world. I just read one that gave me this feeling. I did the like stay up till 1:30 in the morning finishing the book.
Ooh, yeah.
I love that feeling more than anything. So thank you, especially to sexy romance books that give me that feeling most of all. I mean, I'm grateful for Dory. I'm grateful for Dory. Sammy. Everyone who has helped us create this podcast and the community around it and the listeners and guests who make Forever 35 what it is and trust us with their questions and comments and experiences and feedback. And I am grateful for people in our country who work tirelessly to make this world a safer, more kind and fair place. And I'm grateful for all I've learned this year. That's very broad, but I do feel like I've learned a ton about myself, the world, other people. It's been a very, I don't want to say transformative again. I sound like a life coach, but you know, it's been a long, 2018's been a year.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I want to conclude by saying that I am grateful for Costco.
I mean, you should be.
For their big ass containers of organic raspberries, for their coffee beans, for their skincare products, for the bulk Preparation H butt wipes I buy there, for the vitamins, for the granola bars, for the cheese wisps. I mean, I could go on
okay,
and on.
Kate,
the organic milk, the the bubbly water, the mochi. Okay, so Dory, that was my general longer 2018 Thanksgiving gratitude list. And I'm excited to be spending my time with my family this Thanksgiving. Very, very grateful for that.
Well, I am also grateful for a lot of things this year. I'm grateful that, knock wood, IVF finally worked. I'm grateful that we have a house. We have a roof over our heads.
Period.
I'm grateful that our landlord is installing a dishwasher and a new sink and a garbage disposal because our sink was sinking.
Quite literally
sinking. I am grateful that more stuff keeps appearing in our neighborhood. Like they're building like a coffee shop across the street from me. And I love living in a neighborhood that I can walk places because in LA, that's kind of rare.
You have a community.
Yeah.
Ish.
But yeah, I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for my dog, even though he was very annoying on his walk this morning. I am also grateful that I'm close with my family because not everyone is.
No, that's a true gift.
Yeah.
Both physically close and also emotionally close.
I'm not physically close that's to true. My family, but I am emotionally close to my family. And I'm grateful that I'm spending Thanksgiving with some of them. I'm spending Thanksgiving with my sister and her family, which I'm really happy about. And I'm grateful that the Democrats took the House.
Amen.
I'm grateful for this podcast.
I like it too.
And for you.
Well, thanks,
Kate. And I'm grateful for my friends. I'm grateful that, you know, grateful that I still have friends. You know, we hear, I would say friendship is one of the top three things that we hear about on this podcast.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And kind of navigating adult friendships is complicated, especially when a lot of your close friends live across the country. But I FaceTimed with a close friend yesterday who lives in New York, and that was really nice. I was like, oh, I miss her.
Did you express your gratitude for said friend in your conversation?
Yeah. I mean, we were both sort of like, I miss you. I love you. Also, her daughter is so cute and starting to crawl around. I'm grateful for all of that.
And I'm wondering, have you expressed your gratitude? You mentioned your family. Have you told them that you are grateful for them?
No, but I should.
I mean, not to nudge you in that direction, but I wonder if you wrote a letter.
I don't think you know my family.
How would that be received? They'd be like, what the fuck, Dory?
I think they would be very touched. It just it's so not something that would happen in my family at all.
And I think you bring up a good point. Certain practices aren't great for everybody.
I think they would be touched and also sort of are you okay?
I did that to my dad. I wrote him in therapy. I talked about this, some of the things he did for me when I was a kid, that I had never really thanked him for. Like when I was a teenager, once I was at a Phish concert in Albany, New York, and the people I happened to be with who I didn't know very well started using hard drugs and it freaked me out.
Oh God.
And I called my parents and I was like, hey, I'm leaving Albany and driving home to Boston. This was at 11 o'clock at night. On a random December.
Were you supposed to stay over?
I was going to stay over at this person's house drive home the following morning. And I was really uncomfortable. And my dad, this was in, 1997. My dad drove out on the Mass Pike and met me. They picked a rest stop and met in between. And then we caravaned home together, until 2 in the morning. And I hadn't thought about that in years. And so I wrote him this heartfelt card. And then I got this text. It was thanks for letter. You know how dads,
totally.
They don't write in full sentences.
Yep.
But I have to think, hopefully.
But I'm sure it felt good to write that.
I hope so. But you know what? It felt good, even if I think he did appreciate it, but it felt good to just acknowledge, because I think sometimes as a kid, at least for me, I happened to be a bit of a selfish kid and took for granted a lot of the things that my parents did for me. So starting to kind of come out of that now as an adult,
feels good. This is still sounds a little selfish, but it felt nice to be like, oh God, the thing I didn't appreciate when I was 18, I appreciate a lot now.
Totally.
So anyway, it worked for me. You might not want to do it.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I am excited to spend Thanksgiving with my sister and her family.
I love your relationship with your sister so much.
Yeah.
Dare I say, I'm grateful for it.
Oh.
It's cool seeing people model relationships. I don't have a sister, and it's I like learning from you guys.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You have daughters who are sisters.
Oh, I do.
Yes, you do.
And Lord, help me. I'm grateful for them and their relationship with each other, but...
Do you have specific Thanksgiving traditions that you do as a family?
That's a great question. It's changed, you know, because we used to go to my grandparents' house and have a very Italian Thanksgiving with a lasagna or manicotti, mm-hmm. as my grandmother used to say, which is not any sort of pronunciation, but it was her Connecticut accent. Anyway, but they've passed. Then my mom passed away, and then a new tradition was born on my mom's side of the family, and like the entire extended family gathers. So all my mom's cousins, my dad goes, and my stepmom, who, you know, they're still very much a part of my mom's family, even though my mom's passed away. All these just like extended cousins and kids, and they all gather at one person's house. And unfortunately, it's a little bit hard for us to go because we live on the West Coast.
Yeah.
But we always FaceTime with everybody, and I'm, you know, seeing just this huge extended family. And I think that's really special, even though I'm not there to be at it.
Totally.
This year, my immediate family is going on a little vacation, which I think we really need some quality time together. So
I'm so excited for you guys.
And speaking of gratitude, I'm very grateful that we are able to have the means to do something like this.
Yeah.
Because we haven't, just the four of us, kind of been together as a family unit in like a relaxed way in a long time. And I'm excited to make some new memories.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
I think so.
Yeah. I'd love to hear about our listeners' Thanksgiving traditions too.
I would too. And how you've made new ones.
Yeah.
Because I think what's tricky about traditions is sometimes it can feel weird to just organically start one. Do you know what I mean? Like there's mm-hmm. stuff you do as kids that you keep doing into your adulthood, but figuring out ways to create new ones can feel kind of clunky. So I would love to know
totally.
How people have gone about that as well.
Yeah.
And in case we haven't made it clear, we're very incredibly grateful for everyone who listens to this podcast.
Thank you
so much. It's truly an honor.
Truly.
And thank you to our advertisers who we're going to hear from now.
Yes.
Is that a good segue?
Great segue,
thank
Kate.
You. Our guest today is Emily McDowell. Emily, welcome to the pod.
Thanks so much for having me.
We are going to start things off with a bio, which is what we normally do when we have a guest on. Yours is extra special. Do you know why?
I don't know why.
Okay. Your friend, Carrie Chapin, wrote us an email when she found out you were going to be on the podcast, and she asked if she could write the bio for you for your interview.
No.
Yeah.
She didn't.
She did.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So we didn't actually write this one. Carrie Chapin, thank you so much for writing us and for giving us this bio of your dear friend, Emily. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Our guest today is writer, illustrator, and entrepreneur Emily McDowell. She is the founder of Emily McDowell Studio, a stationery and gift company that helps us all say what we really mean to the people and the relationships we really have. She is the creator of empathy cards and co-author of the book, There Is No Good Card for This, What to Say and Do When Life is Scary, Awful, and Unfair to People You Love. While all of this is impressive, it only scratches the surface of what makes Emily special. Emily is the human equivalent of your favorite yoga pants, comfortable, cozy, and irreplaceable, and just what you need at the end of the day. She is the serum of your dreams in the form of a woman, always willing to plump up your spirit, heal your emotional blemishes, and make sure that you are the glowing best version of you that you can be. I hope everyone who listens to this interview is lucky enough to have a friend they love as much as I love Emily McDowell.
Okay. I'm crying now.
I'm a little. Okay. That made me weepy, and I don't, you and I just met, and I don't know Carrie.
Well, Carrie is the one who told me about this podcast.
Oh, thanks, Carrie.
Oh. And Carrie washes her face because of you.
Oh.
And because of your podcast.
Well, our work here.
Okay. She started washing her face. I mean, washing it in a, you know, in a detailed way. And it's changed her life. And I started washing my face in a detailed way because Carrie did and told me how much it changed her life and told me about this podcast.
Whoa.
So you are responsible for so much face washing and life changing.
Just responsible for nighttime face washing everywhere.
Cultural contributions 101.
Your skin is remarkably smooth.
Oh, thank you.
Mm, what do you do? I mean, we will talk about your very impressive resume, but
I'm happy to talk about my face.
What is your face washing regimen? Like, what did you dive in with?
Paula's Choice.
Oh, we get a lot of emails about Paula's Choice.
Yeah. So this was a Carrie. I basically was like, Carrie, tell me what you do and I will do it. And so she sent me photos and very detailed information about all of the products. And then I went and did my own little Paula's Choice information thing. Like, you can go on their website and tell Paula's Choice what kind of skin you have and what your problems are, and they will tell you what to buy. And so I use a micellar water. Micellar mm-hmm. How do you say that word?
We don't.
You say micellar.
Micellar.
But that could be wrong.
That could be wrong.
Like John Paul Micellar.
Exactly.
Okay. I use that, and that I just got at like Vons, like yeah. something.
Love a Vons.
And then I use Paula's Choice face wash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use one of their toners that I think is called like Resist, which is funny. I mean, it's very on point, very on topic.
On brand.
And then I use like a 2% some sort of salicylic acid or some sort of serum.
Which I've heard their serums are great.
It's really good. And then sometimes if I'm feeling extra fancy, I use like a extra moisturizer. Mm. But my skin is really oily. And so generally I'm not hyper moisturizing. And I use now I use sunscreen. I've lived in LA for 11 years and I started using sunscreen just like 7 months ago.
Okay, but you know what? Better late than never.
Yeah. Better late than never. And it's this lightweight moisturizer sunscreen that they have.
That sounds perfect. That's a perfect regimen.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And it doesn't take that long. Like, it's not, yeah. you know, it only takes like 3 minutes. Like, it sounds like it takes a long time, but.
You were not a face washer before.
Not in a
– I wasn't either.
Not in a very – I mean, it's not that I didn't ever wash my face, but I wasn't loyal to a product. I didn't really know what order things were supposed to go in. I didn't understand, like, serum – like, I just kind of would – I would see something that had good packaging, or I would, like, read something mm-hmm. in an Allure magazine on a plane and be like, yeah, I'm going to get that at mm-hmm. Sephora. And then I would get it and use half of it. And, like, Paula's Choice, I just – this is my first time ever reordering products when they run out. Like, that's
the
big
true
for
test,
me, right? Like,
yeah.
that's a, like of somebody who's committed to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
I've followed you on Instagram for many years, and you've talked a lot about how you've kind of been taking care of yourself, nurturing yourself differently this year. Has that been part of it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It definitely has been a part of it. I basically worked myself into being like a shell of a human. It's so interesting because I have this brand that is really is fun. You know, like the stuff is fun, the work is fun, and you get all the time. I get the comments like, "Your job must be so fun," and like. Yes, like part of my job is fun. But I was, up until this year, the sole artist and writer and content creator. And like you wrote all the marketing emails and designed all the blitzes and the website and everything. Wow. And then also ran the company. And so I had...
It's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I had, you know, we had a warehouse in Las Vegas and we had an office here and I had 6 remote employees and we had 8 in the warehouse, and it was a lot. And we went through massive growth, which is very fast, which is great, but also was so challenging in that we were a different company every 3 months for 2.5 years. And so it was every time we created and figured out how to solve a problem, the solution would be outdated like 3 months later. Mm-hmm. And running both the wholesale and website parts of the business require totally different things and different staff and different thinking and resources. And so I had just gotten to a place sort of in the spring of this year where I was just like running on nothing. I mean, I had only cared about work for 5 years, mm-hmm. And at the expense of everything else in my life. You know, I was unhealthy. My like, I never saw my partner. Like, our relationship was like, hey, high five in the hallway. Like, it was not, you know, like everything. I would spend whole weekends asleep. Like, I was really, mm-hmm. I was really depressed. I was really just not functioning. And when it came time to sit down and do the work, and the work is supposed to be like joyful, like this is supposed to be the fun part, and it felt like digging a ditch. And it's like, you know, writing writing like a funny greeting card shouldn't feel like digging a ditch. Like, that's not what this is.
Right.
And so I actually made a big change to the business model at the beginning of this year. We merged with a company called Knock Knock, which is a gift brand, gift and publisher that's been around since 2002. They're still a, you know, indie company, but they're larger than we are, with a much more established infrastructure and a much more established wholesale business. And so that gave us the opportunity to sort of to meld with their infrastructure and to take some of that management responsibility off of me. And so now we, along with a third smaller brand called, it was formerly Sisters of Los Angeles, and now it's called People, Places, and Things. And the three of us are the Who's There group. Mm-hmm. And I am a equity partner in Who's There, and I still run Emily McDowell Studio, but we have a lot more in terms of resources and people and things, people who aren't me doing things, and people who aren't me helping to manage my former employees who came over and who weren't getting mentoring because I didn't know how to mentor them. Like, we had hit my ceiling too. And so it was like, we were all kind of the blind leading the blind. Like, I don't know, like, I guess we'll try this and then we'll try that and then we'll try this. And now they have people who can teach them in a better way than I could teach them. And so it's a lot better. And so one of the things that I've been able to do, even though this year has been really busy with the merger, is like, I took my first vacation in years. And I went to Bali for two and a half weeks in May. And I really unplugged. It was the first vacation I've ever taken since starting this company almost 6 years ago, where I didn't look at my email every day, like where I didn't work every day.
Right.
And I've only taken, I think, two vacations period in that time. And so it was really transformative. And it's funny because it was a relatively short period of time, right? Like, you think 2 weeks is kind of like not anything, but it actually really, like, I feel like something happened to me on a cellular level while I was there. Some sort of shift that I came home and there was, everything felt different. Like, my nervous system felt different. I instead of sitting there watching TV and like twitching and picking and like not being able to focus on anything and like having my partner be like, what is wrong with you? You know, like every 5 minutes, it was like a calmness. It was a totally different, it felt like, I can't even describe this very well, but it felt like the insides of me got rearranged and put back into order. And I did a lot of, like, I did sound healing, like one-on-one sound healing
in Bali.
So basically our trip to Bali was like healing 101. Like, we got some sort of massage or sound treatment or therapy or Ayurvedic thing or facial or something every single day. Like, that's all we did. It was a friend and I went, and a friend of mine who leads meditation retreats and is a great friend. And so she was like, I'm going to be your, like, I'm going to make sure that you do this for yourself.
You had a guide.
I did have a guide, and she had been to Bali 3 times and I'd never been. And so she knew what to do, and she kind of booked everything. And I was just like, just you take care of it and we'll do it. And it was amazing. And Bali is a culture in which self-care is really important. Like, they have charts in the airport bathroom that show you what color your pee should be. And hydrate, they're like, hydrate, you know, like in the airport bathroom, like, this is what we care about. Like, and so there are, and so like the Balinese will, they get massages twice a week as part of a self-care regimen. And so it's like $12 for an hour for a massage. It's incredibly inexpensive when you go there as someone from the US to be able to do like three treatments a day if you want to. And so that's really, it was like this intensive, like total switch around for me of being in my body for the first time in years.
And it was like you kind of knew that you had to do a total reset.
Oh, yeah. I knew that I didn't know how it was going to happen. Like I was in that place where I was like, I am like a disaster of a person right now. Like I felt like I was living from the neck up completely. Mm-hmm. Like whatever was happening down there was like, it was like not really a thing, like looking down at the rest of my body and being like, oh, there's an arm, like that's someone's arm. I don't know if it's mine, but and I had gained 30 pounds since 2016 and 2017 from stress and starting with the election. I really think like collectively mm-hmm. as a nation, that didn't help us health-wise. Like everyone I knew had gained stress weight after the election, and I just kind of kept going. And so I was eating, I was living on sugar, and like, yeah, I was in a bad spot.
And how have you been able to kind of maintain some of those self-care practices or just prioritizing your needs like that since you've come home? Because obviously you came home from a beautiful vacation and now it's like you're back at your job and you're back in, you know, your home.
And I was terrified. Like that was my biggest, like I came home and I was like, how am I going to do this? And so a few things happened. I quit eating sugar at the end of my trip. And so now it's been almost 5 months. And I am a person who, lest you think you cannot quit sugar, I am a person who have attempted like 7 Whole30s in the past. If like Whole4 was a thing, I would be like so good at it.
You're very good at 3
I'm super good
at
Whole4. But I had done one Whole30 successfully in like 2014 and like white knuckling it, like, you know, and cheating, you know, like just not doing it at things right. And immediately it was like day 30, like the bell rang and I was like face first in Ben and Jerry's. And but this time I stopped eating sugar and I noticed I've gone a day and a half without eating sugar. What if I just keep going? Mm-hmm. Because I've also been having, I'm 42 and I'm in the massive perimenopause, which is happening a little early for me because of the chemo that I had 20 years ago. And my symptoms have been real bad. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that's been happening these last couple years is like just everything from the brain fog, massive mood swings, like confusion, thinking you're going insane, night sweats, like waking up, having to change my shirt like 3 times.
Wow.
Like really intense stuff. And I can't do bioidentical hormones or anything like that because of the medical history. So I was just kind of like, okay, like I guess this is going to just, no one can tell me when this will end. Yeah. So I guess I'm just going to live with this and, you know, and, but then I was reading about how quitting sugar and all the things you don't want to do, you know, like basically Whole30 style eating, which is like whole foods and no processed food and no alcohol and no sugar and all the things that sound totally unfun, helps with symptoms. That's like one of the very few things that actually helps. And so I was feeling motivated by that too. Like I'm going to just stop and see what happens. And for whatever reason, it hasn't been hard. And I don't know why. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could bottle it and explain it, not just because I would become a billionaire, but because it's, I would not have believed you if you'd ever said you'll quit sugar and like everything, like honey, maple syrup, like everything except fruit. Like you'll quit sugar, you'll quit drinking. And
And that's includes alcohol, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, I've had a couple glasses of wine. Like, my 20th college reunion happened, like, two Oof. Weeks into this. And I was like, and so I did drink a little bit then. But I really – and I've had a couple glasses of wine here and there. But for the most part, sugar was a bigger problem for me than alcohol. Like, I wasn't a huge drinker before. So just saying no to most of it hasn't been that big of a deal. But the sugar has been a really big deal. And so – and I was already gluten-free. So it's already, like – you know, so the restrictions have always felt like, oh, that's too much. But for whatever reason, I don't know why. It was like my body was like, nope. Like, it was like a self-preservation instinct kicked in. Like, no, you gotta figure this out. And the symptoms, all of the perimenopause stuff has gotten so much better. Like, I would say at least a 75% improvement.
Oh, that must be such a relief.
It's such a relief. And so that is a motivator, you know, as much as anything else to keep going. I really think my skin has gotten way better. I really think that's a result of no sugar. I've lost some weight, you know, 17 pounds or something over 5 months, which is great. My husband has been eating similarly and has lost like 45. And so I'm like,
men's bodies are. Yeah.
I know, but you know, he's a dude and like that's what happens. Right. And so he's like wearing his clothes from college and I'm like, oh, cool. good for you, honey. But yeah, it was really a shift of, I had to decide my inner peace and my personal happiness have to come first. Like they have to, and my health. And it's a choice that I have, that I am continually, that you have to make 75 times a day, you know, like to say, it's not that work isn't important, but that this thing is the most important thing. And so the rest of the choices that I make are going to support my health first and my mental state and my physical state, and everything else gets woven in around that instead of I'll fit health in sometime later, you know, like, which was my attitude for so long.
Which is just like a totally different mindset.
Totally different mindset. And so I've been working with a coach. Like I've been really like in it and reading a ton of books, doing a lot of work, doing a lot of spiritual work actually.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? Because
Yeah, we saw it on your Instagram.
Yes, I remember when you posted
when I like came out as a spiritual person.
Yes, and I went back and reread that post last night, and it was great. You're like, there's stuff you might have noticed that I'm a little different, and it's because I'm like deep diving into spirituality. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear, if you're open to sharing, I would love to hear more about that. What you're reading, what brought that on, and how it's impacted you.
Yeah. So I have been. I was raised totally not religious. And religion was never a part of my life. I was atheist, agnostic. It was just like, I come from like an East Coast intellectual family. So it was like not a thing. And I have been interested in basically the central question of like who I am and what I'm supposed to be here for, like what my purpose is for quite some time. And actually, in 2011, I started a spiritual psychology program at the University of Santa Monica, which is here in LA. Oh, and they do an online program too. And they've been around for like 25 years. And at the time, it was a two-year master's program. And I think they've changed it since then. But it was this intensive, basically exploration of who am I? What is my purpose? What is this universe all about? And what is the role of something bigger than me, whether you call it God or spirit or energy or whatever, what is that thing and how does that impact me and how do I live with it and work with it and what is it? And it was a great program. And I went to it because I had quit my job in advertising and I didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And what ended up happening was really as a direct result of going – of what I was learning in this program about stripping back and remembering who I was and like unlearning a lot of the things that I had learned throughout my life, you know, as a result of living in this culture and unlearning that and going back to what do I love? Why am I here?
Yeah.
That was what starting the company came out of. Like that work actually was what turned into the company. And it was like, cool, this is great. This is amazing. This is why I did that. Like I did this to figure this out. And a lot of people, it was so interesting. It was in my class, I think the youngest person was 21 and the oldest woman was 80.
Wow.
And people came for all different reasons. And I think the majority of people were mid-career successful in one, had been really successful as a lawyer or accountant or whatever, and saying, what else is there? Like, this is, I climbed the ladder. I did what I thought I was supposed to do to make me happy. And it didn't really, like, it didn't pan out. That ladder was, like, leaning against the wrong wall or the ladder led nowhere. And, like, what am I supposed to actually do? And I was in that camp. And the company got so busy that I had to drop out of the program. Like, I basically had to choose. The company took off really quickly. And I had to choose, okay, do I put all this energy into this company, or do I say, okay, great, I'm going to honor this program and finish out this 2 years. And I decided at the time that I should take advantage of the momentum of the company, and that if I wanted to finish the program, I could always go back and do that and finish the second year, which I didn't actually end up doing, not because it wasn't great, but because I've been just neck deep in the company since 2012.
Can you talk a little bit about the early days of the company? Like, what kind of led you to even start?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a company. I was freelancing in advertising. I was in this program on the weekends. And I started writing and illustrating comics and going back to the stuff I liked to do as a kid, which was that. And
so you had never done that professionally,
right? No. I was a creative writing major in college, but it was pre-computer, like Quark. I graduated from college in 1998, and I was an art minor, but art, it was like fine art. Like it was, you know, I did like fiber art, which is super employable. creative writing and fiber art major. Please hire me. And so computer, it wasn't like computer design or anything. And so I learned that through being an art director in advertising, and then had become a writer in advertising. Realized that I liked that better, but I'd never done any kind of my own stuff professionally, and so I just started a Tumblr blog and started posting the stuff for my friends, really, and people started saying I would buy that, you should sell those things, and so. I was also lettering, and lettering then wasn't a huge trend. There was Mary-Kate McDevitt was doing it and Jessica Hish was doing it. There were a few people, but it wasn't like it is now. And so I started lettering and drawing, and Pinterest was just getting started. And so back then you could put something on Pinterest, and just by virtue of it being up there, people would repin it because the volume of traffic wasn't as high as it is now. And so you could put something up, and if it was interesting to people, it would spread and they would repin it. And so I started doing that, and I was like, okay, people are liking what I'm doing. Like, this is cool. This maybe could be a thing. And so I opened an Etsy store, and I couldn't think of a good name for it, and I just wanted to open it, so I just called it my name, which is the reason, like, to this day that the company's named after me, which was not the best idea, it turns out. I had an Etsy store, and I sold prints for a while that I just printed on a fancy Epson that I bought and shipped out, and I really wanted to do cards, but I felt I was not a business person. You know, I had not run a business, and I was like, how can I make money on something that costs like $3, you know? And when I can make this, I can take this same art and put it on a print and sell it for $25. Like, why would I sell it for, you know, $4? And then I learned a little bit about sending it to a printer and, like, you know, what could happen. But really what the impetus was, it wasn't even that to start doing cards, was really starting to feel like you know what? I don't even know if I'll ever make money doing this, but this is what I feel like there's an opportunity to say something that isn't being said mm-hmm. in this world. And I'd always had trouble finding cards at the store that felt like they actually spoke to the relationships I had. Like, they were always really gushy poems about Mother's Day, or the boyfriend cards were never appropriate for like whatever weird ass relationship I was in. And so Valentine's Day was coming up. And I, you know, it was like, you know what I've never seen is a card that is to give to the person that you're like kind of dating, but not really. And Valentine's Day comes and you're like, shit, like, do I give them a normal card and then give them a speech like, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, here you go. I gave you this. Or do I not get them anything? And then that's weird. Cause what if, like, if they give me something and like, should we acknowledge this? Do we not? Like, how do we deal with that? And that's like, there are so many, like millions of people in relationships like that
yeah.
on Valentine's Day who don't know what to do. And I'd never seen a card that was appropriate for that. And so I made one that was basically the text of the speech that you give to somebody when you would hand them a normal card. Like, I know we're not like together or anything, but it felt weird to not say anything. So I got you this card. And it was just a little thing at the end of like the whole little sort of rant. And at the end, it just says, forget it. And like really little letters. And, I put it in my Etsy shop and I figured, and I had like 100 printed at a local printer because that was the lowest number I could make. And I felt like maybe I'll, you know, if I sell 5 of this, those 5 people are going to be so psyched. Like, I don't know if people will see this, but I felt really confident that if people did see it, they would buy it. But the piece of it that I couldn't control was, will people see this? Like, who knows? I don't know. And what happened was Etsy put it on their Facebook page.
Oh, wow.
And that was before the algorithm changed. Like, remember when brands didn't have a different algorithm yeah. as regular people? And yeah. so they just – anyone that followed Etsy would see its posts. And this was during that time. And so it ended up being Etsy's most shared and most liked post of that whole year.
Oh, my gosh.
And they shared it. Yeah. And they – And it was like on everywhere from like Cosmo.com to it was on the front page of Reddit. It was on, you know, like it was on Funny or Die. Like it went just super, super viral. And I had basically a week to ship them because I didn't really think about the timing. Like, you think about, you have to ship a Valentine. Like, if someone buys a card from you right. for a thing, right. you can't like ship it the day before because they have to get it, you know? So you have to stop shipping it like a week or more in advance of the holiday. And so I basically had 1 week to sell these things, and I ended up selling 1,700 of them.
Oh my God.
One by one. Like,
wow. And you were doing all the shipping yourself.
Oh, God. Yeah. I didn't even have a room in my house. I mean, I had, I had like a laptop in my living room. And so I was buying envelopes at Paper Source. Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to do this.
Wow.
And I just kept calling the printer because I didn't know how many more to print, you know, and I'd call right. them and be like, 100 more, 100 more. And then that became like, I guess do 300 more
right.
because it just kept going. And there were guys that were ordering like 10 of them, which was so funny
to
me.
Oh, my God.
And like creepy and like, you know. And I had guys that were like, and it was really cute. There were like several guys actually that bought 2 that put a note in into like notes to seller saying, I'm buying an extra in case I screw up the first one, which I thought was so cute.
That's so sweet.
And there was like people trying to order them from like South Africa and like, you know, and like where it would take a month to ship it. And I was like, you guys, just print it out. You know, like it's fine. Like, don't stress out about this. The shipping is going to be $50. You know, like this is a piece of paper. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but so it was nuts, and it was like round the clock that week. And my stepson was like 7 at the time, 6, and he was like putting cards together with envelopes, and like it was like mayhem. And but at the end of that week, it was like, okay, I think I'm onto something here, and I think that I could figure out a way to do this because I know that I have a lot of things to say. And it feels like the audience is here. And so it's a matter of figuring out the logistics of this thing. And I think I'm up for that challenge. And so that was sort of the beginning of it.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And having gone through that, and then that has grown into a company, and then you've merged. Do you feel like through that experience that you did find your purpose?
I feel like I found part of it.
Yeah,
I found part of it. I think there is going to be another stage that is coming that I think is going to be more about one of the things that I'm really excited about. With what's coming next and with the merger is that we're going to be bringing in some other artists and other writers and other people to do both like licensed collections and other artists and writers to work under this brand. And there are some changes in the works that I can't quite announce yet, but that are super exciting in that direction. And we have a big collection launching in January with an artist who I can't say yet, but is a friend of mine and who I'm super, super excited about. And one of the things that this move is going to allow me to do is be more of like a host of a variety show and a curator and a creative director than actually executing all of the work. And so I'm really excited to – I have this platform that we've built and to be able to be like, everyone, this is Dory. Look how awesome Dory is. Like, go check out Dory's collection. Go check out Kate's collection.
Cool.
Go check out, you know, like,
yeah,
go look
you
at this.
Our
like,
art today.
And I'm really excited about moving more in that direction and then also at the same time then being able to do more podcasting, do more mm-hmm. writing, do more speaking. Mm-hmm. I want to do another book. I want to do, you know, there are all of these things that I want to do that go beyond making products. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited that it looks like I'm going to have the opportunity to do those things, which is great.
Oh, that's so cool.
I wanted to find out what your kind of daily spiritual practices mm-hmm. are, because we talked about you
yes.
taking that intensive,
yes.
that master's program. What do you do now to kind of ground yourself
so
in spirituality?
Here's what I do. I quit watching TV.
Period.
Like for the most part, like period for 4 months. And then now I watch like maybe an hour a week and it's really mindful. Like,
What do you watch?
Well, right now,
it's really mindful. I watch Bachelor.
Exactly. I'm watching only in Paradise. Only Paradise.
Paradise is
it's the most spiritual one. It's not about it's just I choose mindfully. Yeah, yeah. It's not just like consuming like whatever is happening on TV. But right now we're watching the newest season of Insecure.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, which is great. And so it's like, this is something I really want to watch. Yeah. It's not just like Bachelor in Paradise or something random that
you're
I'm
not
like,
watching a House Hunters marathon.
Exactly. Right. Like I'm not watching people flip something like whatever.
Chip and Joanna.
Yeah. Not that it's not great, but it was like, okay, I have to be, it's basically been a really, really strict is the wrong word. Purposeful curation of my time.
Selective,
right. Curating my time. And so I get up, I write in a journal most mornings. Some mornings I don't do it, but I try to do it. I work at the office 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is a long commute for me, which is why I'm only in the office 2 days, 3 days a week. And then Monday, Friday, I work from home. And so every day includes journaling, which I had not done for years. And I'm back into, and I really like doing it. And I do not let myself read it once I've written it.
Mm.
I can go back and read it like a couple weeks later, but like my tendency, because I've been writing to sort to turn it into something for so long, like the synapses and the path in my brain is writing and like monetization are connected. And so it's like, what do I turn this in? What will this become? And it's like, no, just write terrible crap. Like it doesn't have to become anything. You don't have to have a higher purpose for this writing. Just write to write. And so I do that. I meditate, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes like up to half an hour. Guided meditations are great. Like, I think that a lot of people think that guided meditations are somehow like cheating or like that they're less, less effective, or that like in order to be a real meditator, you have to like sit there, you know, on a hard cushion and just be with your brain. And actually, that's totally not true. Like, the effects are the same, whether you're doing that or listening to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I find that guided meditations, especially in the beginning when I was learning to do it, were so helpful in terms of having something else to focus on and getting out of my thoughts, and being able to feel like I was connecting in that way.
Do you have an app or like a program that you
use? Yes. I love Insight Timer. I tried to do Headspace, but I didn't like how you had to – Headspace kind of makes you listen to things sequentially and you have to like unlock things by doing other things. And I was like, that's too many rules. I want to be able to like listen to, and it's like this and it may be different now, but it was like this one guy and I was like, I like to listen to a lady and I like to – like I want – like I just had like different – I had different – I wanted to do different things. And so I love the Insight Timer app because you can – do a guided meditation, or you can also like have it just time you and do, and you can put bells at certain intervals. Like sometimes I'll do a practice that, gosh, I think it was like Tony Robbins or somebody that I first heard about it, where it's like you do 3 minutes of gratitude and then a bell rings to signal to shift, you know, shift your thinking, and then 3 minutes of manifestation of like feeling into the things that you want to create in your life, and then 3 minutes of like loving kindness, like sending loving out into the world. And I really like that practice. And that feels like – because it also feels like when you have something to focus on in your brain instead of just your breath – I find that's really helpful in terms of quieting the rest of my mind and having the time, you know, and not just feeling like I'm sitting there waiting for the time to go by, or, you know, like trying to get out of that crawling mind feeling. And what else do I do? I'm working with a woman named Robin Rice, who is who's amazing. Like she's a shaman, and she is an author, and she is I don't know how to describe her, spiritual leader, elder, the wisest person I've ever met in my life. Like basically every and I just working with her has been so helpful, and we talk, we Skype twice a week, and are working on sort of a project together that's basically helping me figure out the next iteration of my voice in the world, and also helping me learn to let go of a lot of the habits that I had created that were not serving me, and replace them with habits that do serve me. And a lot of that is connecting spiritually and learning to trust my intuition and learning to trust. I mean, it's like, it sounds like such a cliche thing to say, like trust the universe, because I certainly am not going to be one of those people that says, well, everything happens for a reason. But what I do think is that shitty things happen, and that it's, of course, you're going to feel shitty about them. Mm-hmm. Like that's human and that's normal. And like, that's of course. But that you also then get to decide what that experience ultimately is going to mean for you, and how you're going to use what you learned in that experience. And you, it doesn't mean that you say, oh, I'm glad this person died. You know, like it's not like, oh, this person died, and so I therefore have to turn it into this, like internalize it and turn it into this positive thing. But it's more about, this thing happened and I get to choose now what I do moving forward, and how that affects me, and how that and really making conscious choices and understanding the space between action and reaction. So taking that pause and being able to respond instead of react, and cultivating, which helps cultivate detachment from emotions, and helps cultivate, like, because for me, when I'm really driven by my emotions all the time, like that's not great. Like it contributes to depression, and it contributes to anxiety. And so a lot of the spirituality stuff for me is about learning how to take a step back and get quiet in my body and feel into my, it's so much unlearning. Mm-hmm. It's so much unlearning. I feel like I'm not explaining it very well.
No,
I think one of the things that's really hard, I find explaining spirituality really, really difficult. And one of the challenges that I have for myself is to figure out how to explain what I'm learning right now in a way that other people can understand, and people who are turned off by the concept of spirituality, because the concept of spirituality comes with a lot of like weird baggage. And people are like, oh, I don't want another book with a rainbow on the cover. And like, it just sounds like meme city, you know? And a lot of people saying like, love yourself. And you're like, cool, how the hell do I do that? You know? And one of the big challenges that I'm posing for myself that I'm excited about is starting to write into that space of, not that I can tell you how to love yourself, but I can tell you how I'm learning to love myself, and maybe that will help you.
Emily, this was amazing. and you're amazing.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it was just so great to talk to you, and we love everything that you do. So thank you.
Love your card. Your cards. Sent so many of your cards. Drank out of so many of your mugs.
Where can people find you?
People can find us online at emilymcdowell.com. They can also find us at 1,500 or so retailers. And there is, if you go to the footer of emilymcdowell.com, there's a retailer's link that is in orange, and people can click that and look up by city and state where retailers are locally. Retailers won't always carry the same, like the only place to get the whole selection is on our website, and we do free shipping over at $35, just throwing that out there. But yes, retailers are also great. If you want to just pick something up locally, please do.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Emily. And thank you again to Carrie for that amazing bio.
I love you, Carrie Chapin. Thank you, Carrie Chapin.
So, Kate.
Yes.
How did good old honoring the cold go?
Well, I did shoot you a text message on Saturday. We do a lot of texting.
We do.
And I said something along the lines of, like, I just woke up from a 3-hour nap. I'm so discombobulated. And you reminded me.
Yeah, I believe you were also like, I'm so annoyed. Like, you expressed annoyance.
I felt like I had wasted the day.
Yes, exactly.
But I had been really tired and feeling really run down, and the nap did feel great. Mm-hmm. And you reminded me that I said I was going to honor my stupid cold.
It's like, hey, this is honoring your cold.
This cold has been chugging along for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, you've had it for a while.
Yeah, I still don't feel great, but I did slow down a little bit. So I guess I did honor my cold.
Good.
Yeah. And I normally kind of try to plow ahead when I'm sick.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to slow down, but I did it.
Totally.
How is your gift figuring out going for your husband?
Well, I haven't landed on the gift yet, but I have started doing some perusing.
Interesting.
So I feel like I'm circling around the gift.
Do you give yourself a deadline for when you want to have all your holiday gifts purchased by?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, I guess the actual holidays.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, I've been known to try to do it all like a couple days before, which is not the best idea.
Use that overnight shipping. And
like run out to the mall. I mean, it's too hectic.
Remind me, do you and Matt exchange gifts at Hanukkah, at Christmas, or at both?
We exchange gifts at Christmas.
So this will be a Christmas gift.
We commemorate Hanukkah. And I think when we have kids, I would like to actually do Hanukkah. But no, right now we just do Christmas. And usually we get now that I'm thinking about it, we usually get our Christmas tree over Thanksgiving weekend. So we'll probably get it. We're coming home Saturday. We'll probably get it Sunday.
You do a fresh tree?
We do a fresh tree. I know you have a great fake tree.
I love and I never thought I would be a fake tree lover, but I love this thing.
Maybe this is the year we just bite the bullet and get the fake tree.
It's expensive. I mean, it was like $200.
Yeah, but
trees are expensive.
A fresh tree. I feel like every year,
$80.
I feel like we've spent over $100 at home. And we go to Home Depot and get the tree. We're not going to fancy artisanal Christmas tree farm.
Willow and sage Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I will say the cool thing about my fake tree, if you are a Christmas celebrator, is that it switches light color. So I can either have white lights or colored lights.
Ooh, and you don't have to buy separate lights.
No, the lights come on the tree. You just press a little button and it switches to whatever
your
mood
is. Putting those lights on is so annoying.
The worst.
Oh, we're getting a fake tree. You got it at Costco, right?
Of course, Dory.
I remember you told me
that. You know I live in a Costco,
yeah,
right?
I'm gathering that. I mean, to be fair, you also do. You live much closer to Costco than I do.
There's a Costco 7 minutes from my house.
Yeah. So.
But it's good. This is
usually
getting...
when Matt and I haven't been to Costco in so long, but usually we'll do because we're kind of equidistant from the Atwater Costco and the Burbank Costco. So we'll usually plug it into Waze and see which one is quicker. Depending on, the time of day, it can really vary.
It's true.
So
I just want to welcome one and all to Costco. So Dory, what is your intention for this Thanksgiving week?
Well, I think I just want to kind of be in the moment with my family. You know, I know that that is like kind of similar to your intention, but
let's have matching intentions.
Yeah. I just, you know, I just want to be grateful that I'm able to travel to see my family, that I'm able, you know, that I am close with my family. I want to spend some time with my nieces, and, you know, my older niece is going to be 3 in January. So she's like starting to be a real person, you know, yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe we'll like bake cookies or something.
Yeah, you totally will get to spend quality time together.
And then my younger niece is turning into like a real cute, chunky baby that I just want to like, yeah. So I'm very excited. What about you?
Mine is very similar. I'm going to be on a vacation with my family.
Yeah.
And I would like to disconnect from social media and just focus on, I put us, but just like be really present, be in the moment, enjoy each other's company, whether we're squabbling or having the best time of our lives.
Maybe I'll take social media off my phone.
That's what I was thinking. You know, just really try to be present and also just slow my brain down a little bit. But like you, just really appreciate the fact that we get to spend this time together.
Yeah.
So thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
Whether or not you celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday, we are grateful for you, and we hope you're having a lovely day.
And as a reminder, you can always reach us at 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
You can join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. The password is serums.
And if you like the show, we would really appreciate you leaving us a rating or even a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show. And if you mention us on the social media outlet of your choice, we are also very grateful for that.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by someone we're very grateful for, Sammy Junio. Thanks for listening.